So I have many times, as I've been here, made clear that I am a recovering, poorly behaved child at Mass. I am very much serious about empathy for parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, bringing their kids even when they're having a difficult time. Not so much because I understand the parents, I do, but I understand the kids especially. And I promise, and this is why I sort of so strong about this, we learn. We will learn as kids. But I remember being incredibly bored at Mass. I remember being incredibly bored at family prayer. And I think if all of us as adults are honest, we still have those periods where when we come to Mass, when we go to Holy Hour, when we try and sit down to read the Scriptures, we get bored. And we don't want to say that because we feel like it's this great insult to the Lord. So instead we try and pretend, which then further isolates us from Him. So now we feel bored and like we've got to keep that from Him. So nothing good is happening when that's going on. So I want to invite us to pay attention to God's desire. The gospel today could take us down a road where we start talking a lot about the Trinity and how the Trinity works, three persons, one in being, but that would just leave us with more abstraction, important abstraction, but likely not kind of bridging the gap in our heart. Because what we encounter here is not so much Jesus focused on our desires, but Jesus revealing God's own desire, right? The desire of God to draw us into His own inner life. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will come to him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him, right? This is the desire of God, to make his dwelling in our hearts, to catch us up into the life of the Trinity, which is love. So this is why it's important to use that word desire, which I think rarely we make use of in the religious kind of context. In fact, if you look at the way religion is presented in popular media, whether we're talking about presentation of Western Christianity or of Eastern kind of esoteric methods of prayer, it's always presented as if we're trying to empty out, get rid of our desires. We're somehow taught that having desires, presenting them to God, is wrong. It's being selfish. But that's just not true. In fact, the reality is, we tend not to have intense enough desires for God, which is why we end up bored. The analogy that I often use is it's like trying to present the beauty of married love to a kid. Ew, that's gross. Or, no, I don't like girls. They've got cooties. Right? They're just not in a space yet to have grown to being able to live in those desires, to understand all of what's going on between persons in the heart. So when we approach our faith and find that we're bored, the issue isn't with God, who desires us intensely, and it isn't with the church itself. This is where we sometimes get off base and think that Mass needs to be an entertaining kind of thing, or that we need to kind of chase trends. The issue is often with us. Not in a shameful kind of way, but we have to kind of get over the bad habit that we've gotten into, that God doesn't care about our desires, or that God's love is not really actually going to satisfy anything other than the most sanitized and warm and fuzzy kind of love. But if you have experienced heartbreak, if you've experienced rejection or loneliness, which all of us have, that is a part of our heart crying out for the love that God has. But I want to say this a different way, because chances are most of us, our eyes glazed over as soon as I said, well, we need the love that God has in those places, because for whatever reason we deflect. Okay, yeah, God loves me just like he loves everybody else, but no. So maybe it's good for us to pivot a little bit. This is where God's desire for you and I has to go. In those places where we feel as though others have let us down, others haven't come and found us, where we feel like we're unseen by others, or even we seem to have everything that people would want, and it's still not enough. It's exactly there that God's desire surges for us. We have to remember that throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New, the image of marriage is used not by the people of Israel projecting it onto God, but by God drawing Israel into it. That the intensity of the love that's there in the most fairy tale of marriages is a reflection, a shadow of the intensity with which God loves us. Even Pope Benedict XVI, in his encyclical Deus Caritas Est, God is Love, says that God's love is simultaneously agape, self-giving, and eros, desiring. And he understands that this is something found in none of the other gods of the ancient world, that they desire humanity, individual humans. So how do we move this from being words, nice ideas about God's desire, and actually make the space for him to dwell in our hearts? So first off, are we aware of our own desires? And have we shared them with God? That's the place to begin. And yeah, we may have to push past that voice that says that's selfish to do. You're being wasteful of your time of prayer. You're just being distracted. No. In the deepest desires of our hearts, God wants to meet us. St. Therese of Lisieux, she said that God in his goodness would not give me desires unless he intended to satisfy them. So those deepest desires are worthy of holding up and pondering with the Lord. And yeah, he may refine them. He may surprise us. But those desires are a deep reflection of his own desire for us. So first we have to become aware of and communicate our desires to the Lord. And then we have to be aware of, look at God in his desire for us. But if we've ever really encountered someone who loves us and tried to hold their gaze, right, at first what we kind of want to do is look down. It almost embarrasses us being seen in that way. But we have to learn to do that with God. to become accustomed to the look of love that he gives to us. So if that word desire is too intense, then let's just step it down one. Can we look and see that God likes us? Let's just pivot the language a little. Because I think we're trained not to like ourselves. We all have a list. What we wish was different about us, about our lives. But God, in his infinite power, his infinite knowledge, all of his good providence, has chosen that right now, in this moment, in the history of the universe, it is good that you exist. It is good that you exist so that you can be desired, loved, liked by him. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't have to convert. But even that idea that we have to convert means that underneath the stuff that has to go away is one whom the Lord loves, desires, likes intensely. And that the conversion is not because everything's all wrong with you. The conversion is so that we have the space to receive all of the love that God desires to pour out upon us. So can we allow ourselves to linger on the gaze of God that desires us, that likes us? And especially when we come to Holy Mass, where in the Eucharist, the Lord once again expresses in an intense, utterly unique way his desire to remain with us. Can we bring him the various desires and longing of our heart and go, I know somehow you're the answer to these, I don't know how, but here they are. Come be with me in them. And Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. This is what he's speaking about. Not necessarily that he's going to take away everything that makes us suffer. Not that he is immediately going to give us things that satisfy us on the surface level. But instead, that by letting our gaze of desire meet his, we will find a love that is so intense and secure, there will be nothing to trouble or frighten our heart, because we will have him. So all of us are called to enter more deeply into this story of love and desire that God has. This is why we come to worship. This is the key to avoiding the boredom that haunts us, not by figuring out how to entertain ourselves, but ultimately by recognizing that each time we go to prayer, we are meeting one who has already been there waiting for us and desiring us.